Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a Patriots Monday all day here at WEEI. Coming up this hour, Bill Belichick at 7:45 on this show. And then Boomer Esiason will join us at 9. Courtney has the news before that, coming up in about 15 minutes or so at 7:20. But joining us right now on the Harbor One hotline, the mayor of a city that has been on all of our minds for the last 5 days or so, Mayor Caggiano from Bristol, Connecticut. Mr. Mayor, thanks for being on this morning.
Greg, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on EEI. I've spent many years up in Boston and around Boston working in the medical field. I just heard the Mass General Cancer Center commercial. Spent a lot of time there in my career.
Well, what is when it comes to your city? I'm wondering what we can do. The listeners of the show have been donating like crazy when it comes to the Greg Hill Foundation fundraiser. What else can we do for your city right now, Mr. Mayor?
I think the only thing you can do is hug your family, talk to your friends. This is a horrible tragedy. If you guys haven't seen it yet, but last evening, the body cam of the officer, the hero officer that saved many more lives and gives credit to his fellow officers for saving his life, is something that's just amazing to see. And the resilience of these heroes is beyond belief. But the support that you guys are giving, and I know you've raised a bunch of money. I didn't get to check it yesterday, but you are well on your way to raising over $100,000 when I checked earlier, is just so heartwarming. You know, I know Boston has had its share of issues somewhat similar to this during the Boston bombing era, and I was up in and around Boston, and you never think it's going to hit your backyard. And this can happen anywhere. Bristol is a big, small town. And although we're the 12th largest city in Connecticut, we really have a small town feel. And whenever I was up in Boston, that's the feel that I had. You know, we're all brothers here and sisters, and we really need to help our brothers and sisters in need right now. We sent our Bristol cops back on the beat yesterday for the first time since it happened, and I got to go to every single roll call and send them out, and it's kind of neat. We've had so much mutual aid that they're going out in tandem with other officers from towns all over Connecticut, and the outpouring is it's just amazing to me.
Well, we were talking about that body cam footage earlier, and you use the word hero. It is it's the best word. I don't know if there's a better one. What that officer did under those circumstances, having been shot himself, is extraordinary. I just, I'm a big giant scaredy cat, so there's no way I could do that job. And it is, I think it's wildly important that not only when things like this happen, but whenever we possibly can, we say thank you to those who do that every single day.
I couldn't agree with you more. The outpouring that we've seen, there's a police car in front of the station. I'm sure most of you are probably seeing it because the news is putting it there, just getting covered with flowers, with food. There's more food. We could probably feed Bristol for a day with the amount of food that's in the police headquarters, and people just want to do something. I think that's awesome. But the financial support that you're going to help provide for this family is a tiny, tiny sliver of something that will help families not have to think about that, which is truly amazing. But we need to hug our heroes. I put out a message yesterday on our Facebook page to tell people to just chillax, stay home, stay off the streets, relax, you know, hug your family. We need to give these guys a break. And, you know, our town is as blue as could be. There's lights all over the place, and it's just a wonderful thing. And, you know, I'm, by the way, just a little Boston connection here, humongous Zac Brown fan. Never miss him in Fenway Park. Was there this year, and today I was doing good. This is the first morning I didn't wake up and cry. And coming into the office, and my song list starts playing, and The Comeback comes on. And if you listen to the words of those songs, he talks about Lady Liberty down on her luck. The only way is up. And the line that got me was, heroes are on the front line working 100 hours a week that run toward the danger to save strangers like me. And I don't know how people in this country ever forgot about that, but it seems to me like in the past couple of years that has happened. This really is a wake-up call to the entire country, and certainly I'm preaching to the choir in Boston because you guys have been Boston strong for many years, but I think this will reverberate around the country for a while to come.
Well, I think you said it perfectly, that these guys and ladies are brothers and sisters that are a part of the police force. So thinking of the ones that just lost somebody so close to them, how can we support those who are still going out there and putting their lives on the line after knowing that they lost one of their own?
I think what you're doing, collecting those donations, is almost the only thing that we could do now from afar, which is great. But as I said, it's a small sliver of hope for them, and that's great. I mean, I think the other thing is that when we move forward, we have to be able to understand how this evil happens, and we need to recognize it. You know, it's out there. As I told the officers as they went out on their beat, there's three things that can get you through crisis in a time like this. Individually, you have to have faith, family, and friends. And I guess I can say this hopefully on this radio. I've listened to you guys enough, but you're kind of effed if you don't have those three F's. And, you know, I think that's who we have to look to. On my speech, and I don't even remember it, but somebody reminded me that, and I got some help with it as well, too, that we need to put our arms around those officers, but I think it's just as important to put the arms around our own family and friends. And I've gotten and given more hugs in the last 4 days than I have in the last 40 years. And we need more of that right now, because until Friday rolls around and we put these two heroes to rest, you know, there's going to be huge ups and downs for everybody. It's amazing to me how this has had such an impact on every single individual, because we all know a public safety officer. We all know a cop. We all have family that are affected by this.
Well, since you're a listener, before you go, I just want to ask, Bailey Zappi or Mac Jones going forward in your mind, Mr. Mayor?
This is a killer. I'm kind of glad I heard you got Bill Belichick on, who I respect tremendously. You also have Boomer Esiason coming on. So I am the wackiest Boston guy, Boston fan you'll ever meet. I am a huge Liverpool fan. Let's start there. They had a great day yesterday. I am a huge Red Sox fan and the biggest Zac Brown fan ever, ever, ever. And I will always be up at Fenway. But unfortunately, my 4-2 Jets which I'm just a weirdo. I have all those Boston fans.
Oh, wait a second.
I think that'll be a good thing, and I'm killing your audience right now. I was hoping this didn't come that way. Not a Pats fan, guys. I respect them greatly.
You know what? You should have said I got to run to a meeting or something rather than own up to me. But I like the honesty from the politician. Yes.
Well, at least he's a Jets fan, not a Giants fan.
All right.
Yeah, no, that's true. Could be worse. Yes. I'm an honest guy. I think the people in Bristol are like that. We're kind of the dividing line in some of these cases. It could have been worse. It could have been a Yankees fan, right, guys?
Yeah, it could have been worse. All right. Well, please don't hesitate to reach out if there's anything that we can do. And I know that we're blessed with an incredibly generous bunch of listeners when it comes to this radio show. So we're at least $103,000, which will be donated to those families. And please let us know if there's anything else that we can do. Okay.
I think, we talk about family, friends. I feel like you guys are family to me now, but I think those prayers are very important through the faith, and I can't thank your listeners enough for taking a moment or two and just giving a couple bucks to these families so that they have no worries moving forward on the financial side.
Mayor Caggiano, thanks for being on this morning. That is the mayor of Bristol, Connecticut. Speaking of politics, Curtis, I believe that there is a very important issue in this upcoming election over the next few weeks that you would like to advocate for. Is that correct?
I don't know if you're anything like me, but I love the no on one ads that I've been seeing every commercial break.
Yes.
You know, touchdown, question one, touchdown, dentist, touchdown, somebody else.
No on two, yes on three.
Well, I have a cause that I have purchased 60 seconds of our airtime.
Okay.
And I would like you to get behind this cause for the future of New England.
Okay.
Are you sick and tired of being lectured to by the elite NFL media as to what your eyes are really seeing with Bailey Zappe?
I mean, Bailey Zappe's head is spinning right now, guys.
Are you fed up with the cabal of NFL reporters lecturing you?
I thought he was fine. It's not like he lit it up.
Have you just about had it with failed backup quarterbacks who don't even know that there were only 10 yards in an end zone lecturing you about who Bailey Zappe really is?
I think, like, overall, my big takeaway was he made one real throw.
The future of a once great franchise hangs in the balance.
Very exciting.
This is the most monumental November in the history of this Patriots franchise.
You know, it stars me up.
Believe in something.
I can't believe I'm actually going to agree with Chris Curtis.
Believe in Zappe. Vote yes on four. Mac's girlfriend Sophie did not pay for this message. I think Linda did.
Oh, that's well done, Curtis.
Wow, yes, Curtis.
I agree. Yes on four.
Yes on four.
Yes. I want a yard sign. Do you have yard signs?
I have six. It says numbnuts. Yes on four.
Curtis, you have a good political voice.
Thank you.
You could be a politician.
I will.
I'm all in.
All right. Yes on four. That's the way we're going all morning long here. All right.
It's also, can I just say, because he brought up Sophie, I've checked my Instagram every day since I received that Zappe jersey. Uh-huh. She still follows.
Oh,
so
we,
all things are still okay.
Oh, you're a traitor in her eyes.
Yeah, I thought I was going to get the unfollow real quick.
All right. It's a Patriots Monday. Bill Belichick coming up in about a half an hour on this show. But right now, here's Courtney and what is trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Patriots with a 38-15 win over the Browns. Bailey Zappe completed 24 passes for 309 yards and two touchdowns. I would say a big improvement from his first start in the NFL. So how has he been able to become more comfortable in that starting role? Here's what he had to say.
Definitely my teammates and my coaches. They did, they've definitely supported me, helped me a lot, answering my questions I've had on the sidelines, keep me calm around the field as far as teammates. And, you know, when you have guys like we have on the offensive side, it's very easy.
Not taking any credit there. He's given it to all the coaches and teammates. We'll talk to Bill Belichick at 7:45 this morning, while Gresham Keefe will have Adrian Phillips and Hunter Henry on between 10 and 1, and between 4:30 and 5, the Zapster joins MF and M. Tonight, we've got Broncos Chargers 8:15 p.m. start, but before that, the Bruins with a game, a matchup with the Panthers tonight, puck drop at 7 p.m. And October is Subaru Loves Pets Month. Find out how you can help local animal shelters by using hashtag SNE Loves Pets at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is currently 52 degrees in Boston. Cloudy skies, some showers this afternoon, high of 60.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time for...
Let me start off with two words.
The news.
Made in America.
With your host...
As distinct as the polka dots.
Courtney Cox.
I smell bad today.
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, specializing in men's sexual health.
Am I okay?
On WEEI.
Bill Belichick on a Patriots Monday coming up in about 20 minutes or so, around 7:45, and then Boomer Esiason at 9. But Courtney's back.
I think we're overusing that drop.
Which one?
The I smell bad today. I was making fun of someone else when I said it. You guys just cut that out really.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Shime.
I'm sorry about that.
Apologies. I can't wait to do remote Shime when you've got COVID again next week.
All right, Courtney has the news. Actual in-studio Courtney, not remote Courtney, with the news.
I love it. Feisty.
Yes, she is.
Well, no school in Haverhill or Malden today as contract negotiations failed over the weekend between the teachers and the city. It's just for the students, though. Teachers and employees are expected to be in school today for their job, but they are going to be on strike, so that's not
going
to
happen.
Wait,
so they're going to be on strike? I thought it was illegal in Massachusetts for teachers to strike.
Well, they're on strike.
Oh, okay.
There's already photos, videos, everything out.
Okay.
Are you sure it's not flex time?
So there's no school, but there's also no athletic events, no extracurricular activities, nothing after the school. So that'll impact 6,000 students in Malden and 8,000 in Haverhill.
Jeez. Yeah, we play Haverhill Friday night.
What are the parents supposed to do? I mean, the parents have to work. What are they? It doesn't seem right to have the kids be penalized in this kind of a thing. Doesn't seem right to
me. If you don't have teachers, what are you supposed to do with the children?
Yes. Yeah. Well, if the teachers are there, but they're on strike, I guess they can't be teaching the...
No, they're outside the building.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. All right.
And city officials are warning folks that if they want to enjoy spooky season in Salem, there's just no parking. They've been overrun with folks joining forces to come visit the Hocus Pocus house or go to the other attractions.
Curtis had this very issue last week.
It's a crazy scene over there in Salem.
So they're basically saying, come to Salem, but don't drive.
Yeah.
Like, how does one get there?
You could take
a ferry.
You take a bike?
There's
a
ferry.
Can you take a blue bike? Oh, you could take the ferry.
Can I fly?
Okay. Yeah. But the number's wild. In the first 9 days of the month, they saw 100,000 more people than they did last year at this time. So we can hear from Tina Jordan, the executive director of the Salem Witch Museum.
If you come with no plans, you will be disappointed. People have been pent up and they want to get out and they want to do fun things.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So have a plan.
I've never had a plan when I go there. I like to just bop around.
Just walk around.
By the way, speaking of Salem and scary things, The Watcher on Netflix. Oh, God.
It's great, isn't it?
I told
you that last week. It's excellent.
Gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Isn't there something going on with the house?
True story. What?
Isn't there something like a big thing about the house that was filmed in?
Well, that's what the whole thing is about.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. The whole series is about a house. There was a weird person. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but there was a weird person who called him or herself the Watcher, and they terrorized a family who moved into this house for a long, long time. The only thing that sucks about the show, I don't know, should we talk about it?
Is it like frogging?
What?
Is it like frogging?
No. This person was writing like letters anonymously. It's very creepy.
I mean, it's based on real life, but you don't end up knowing who it was.
Right.
Who do you think it was, Curtis?
Realtor.
No, that's stupid.
I thought it was a realtor, too, because it was weird how they kept having the LLCs put the offers in on the places.
And she lied about there having to be many big offers when they initially put the offer in.
Yeah. But that old guy, the guy who did the class on the house, was kind of creepy, too.
Or the other good guess, Jess had the detective, Shooter McGavin, who was the detective.
Oh, who was having the affair with the real estate lady?
Oh, gosh, you're spoiling a lot.
I'm sorry. Okay.
I've read the articles. I haven't watched yet. I'm very excited to watch.
Yeah, but nobody's going to watch it now when you say they don't.
You don't have it. It's still really good.
Curtis is right. It's really, really good.
I hope it's better than Halloween Ends, which is trash.
Really?
Oh.
Terrible.
Terrible.
Is that bad, huh?
Terrible.
Horrible.
Terrible.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, what else?
Well, irrational fear. This guy, Dan Myers, lives in Swampscott and was doing his normal routine of walking his dog Saturday night when a pack of coyotes surrounded him.
A pack?
A pack.
How many? Nine.
Jesus. Yep. When the police officers, because he had to call 911, they weren't backing down. Called 911, the police officers show up. They say that they counted at least nine. They used the police strobe lights to scare them away.
Jeez.
Yeah, we can hear from Dan himself.
So I took out my iPhone and I shined my light on them. And when they started coming closer, I growled at them. But I'll tell you, it's real and they were unafraid. And they were big. They weren't like dogs. They were like big wolves or something like that.
I saw a coyote this morning on my drive in.
Really?
Wow. Oh yeah, just trotting along the side of the highway.
Stay out of Swampscott.
I can't believe the guy. So the guy is like, they're just circling him, ready to go for his jugular?
Yeah, but nine? You think about nine?
That's a lot.
Terrifying.
Get to the roof of a car.
Yep. And this is a wild story. A man who's suspected of being a serial killer in Stockton, California has been caught. Police are saying they got him Saturday night while they think he was out hunting for his next victim.
Yeah, did you see this story?
This is terrifying. Wild.
The guy was out trying to find somebody else to kill.
Yes, the guy, Wesley Brownlee, is 43. He was arrested on charges of homicide related to six killings of men between 21 and 54.
That could be the smiley face killer for all
Greg,
we know.
Greg, you and I are the same person. Yeah. Saw the story.
Did you think the same exact thing? Yeah.
That is the profiling for the smiley face killer. How was he killing him, though?
Wasn't the smiley face drugging him?
That's what they think. Nobody knows what smiley face does.
How was this dude killing
him? By the way, it could be more than one smiley face killer.
Yep.
Like, nobody knows.
Yeah.
Copycat?
Yeah.
Yep, we can hear from Stockton Police Chief Stanley McFadden.
He was on a mission to kill. He was out hunting. Arrested was Wesley Brownlee, 43, for homicide.
So, very scary. Yeah. Speaking of scary, Tony Hughes, he was a deaf, non-vocal victim among the 17 young men murdered by Jeffrey Dahmer.
Mm-hmm.
His mom, Shirley, is now speaking out when it comes to the Netflix doc, there's a doc, actually, and then the drama, and the Halloween costumes that people are now buying. This is going to be a very hot Halloween costume this year. But she talked to TMZ, and she's saying that, you know, Netflix is making all of this money off of a terrible tragedy that her family suffered, and she thinks that if this continues, whether it's eBay ads or Netflix or what you're buying to be Dahmer for Halloween, the family should be seeing some of that cash.
Yeah, Little Boozy was right, man. Netflix should be paying these families.
Yeah.
He was right. He been saying it all along.
I'm in lockstep with Little Boozy.
He said, don't support Netflix, the Dahmer show, because they ain't paying the families.
Yeah.
And that was a weird episode, the deaf kid, the Tony.
Yep.
That episode there.
Yeah. But, I mean, Halloween costumes have always been, like, since the dawn of time. time mm-hmm. have been there have been inappropriate costumes. The
Twin Towers costume comes to mind. Yeah, after 9/11.
The family hasn't in the past. The costume company doesn't give the money to the family. I'm
trying to think of another serial killer, a real life one mm-hmm. that was a big Halloween costume.
Aaron
though.
Hernandez.
I don't really like
Ted Bundy.
No, you really couldn't go as Ted Bundy.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't.
You know, you,
what about the clown guy? Was it Macy? Right.
Who are you talking about?
Yeah,
he was in the clown killer guy.
Yeah, Macy.
Oh, yeah, he was in. He was actually in
Gacy.
Oh, yeah. Gacy. That's what it was.
He was
Sorry,
in the
bad.
Dama series.
He was in. Wasn't he in Cleveland?
John Wayne Gacy.
John mm-hmm. Wayne Gacy. Yeah. I think he was in Cleveland. I don't know, but yeah.
So it's interesting.
So they want money from yeah.
Yeah. And while Dahmer will be a popular costume for the men out there. The top Halloween costume for the ladies
mm-hmm.
Has been announced on TikTok. And it's very easy to get. We do have photos. I sent Ethan the photos of the hottest Halloween costume this year, which is going to be the sexy fairy. Very
sexy
easy.
Fairy?
Yep. Very
really?
Easy to
that?
Put together.
Wait, that doesn't even look. It's not a costume.
Right.
It's somebody wearing lingerie.
Yep.
That's it with some wings on the back.
A tale as old as time.
What tale is as old as time?
Wearing lingerie on Halloween.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I am so grateful I didn't have a daughter.
Oh, my God.
That is true.
Yep. Like, there's still time, Curtis.
So is this what are we doing? I mean, so this is the. So basically, we're just admitting it.
All right.
Women are just dressing in lingerie for Halloween so they can go to a party and be thirsty. Have you guys been sleeping under a rock?
Oh,
my gosh. Halloween was, you know, all bets were off. I remember my freshman year, my mom and dad texted me, send a photo of your costume.
You're
I'm like
nope.
That's it. Not going to happen.
That's why Halloween is the greatest holiday ever.
Yeah. But this one.
For you it is. That's right. Why you love it.
Well, yep. You know.
Because look at Wiggy's dating profile. It says freak.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Halloween and costumes, we didn't get to talk about Wiggy working Saturday at the Halloween theme park.
Yeah,
terrifying.
It was tremendous.
We have a photo of you being all made up and everything, which I think we can show on Twitch. If you're not watching the show on Twitch, you should be every single day. So just go to Twitch and follow WEEI to watch. And I believe that Ethan has a photo of Wiggy. Where did you do this on Saturday?
Demented FX in Holyoke.
Holy cow.
Yeah,
I can't even look at it.
And if you have never been out there, get out there.
That's pretty good, Wiggs.
Yeah. Oh. They really did a good job. I got to thank Jeremy and all his staff
for
that.
So wait, who are you?
I am just like a demented part of this resistance. It's like a Resident Evil style of haunted warehouse. So you go through. It's like a movie scene that you're part of. It's not like a standard.
It looks like the Big Boned Purge.
Yeah, it's similar to that. Yeah, it's kind of like that.
The video you posted with you sticking your tongue out, really, I was like, I got to remove this from my memory.
Very good.
Did a pretty, looks like your nose, something happened to your nose there, though.
Yeah. His lips.
It's like half bitten off.
I have to say, Wiggy, one of your most endearing qualities is how you do nothing half-ass, and that looks awesome.
Yeah, they did a really good job. I'm looking actually forward to next year.
What are you going to do next year? How long did it take them to make you up like that?
Well, it's crazy because the person who did this had already the mask done. So all they had to do was take that and glue it to my face.
Mm.
So it didn't take that long to kind of like, you know, put me together and everything. But I'm telling you, if you've never like, this is not like any standard haunted house type of setup. It is like if you haven't been there and because then I went through it afterwards.
Yeah.
So
Were you scaring people?
No, I was scaring people originally,
but
then afterwards, they do like this whole thing. There's a bar there, and there's like this whole thing. I got on a microphone. Then afterwards, I went through the actual haunted, warehouse with people. So it's like you got to crawl through stuff. There's like, it's really unique.
Well done, Wiggy. Huh.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Great job.
We scared the hell out of some little kids, too.
Oh, that's nice.
Master Joby Wan Kenobi in the Twitch chat says that they will donate to the Greg Hill Foundation if I wear the sexy fairy costume on the show.
That's going to take a hefty donation.
Maybe I will.
I think that takes a different meaning.
What size do they make? Can I get that in the XL?
I think you can.
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay. Avid Love is the brand that you need.
Good morning. I'm looking to see if you have the sexy fairy costume and husky.
Yeah, they have that.
Yeah. think that would be nice.
That'd be all plus right. size. Yep. I don't think they call it husky for the women. I think it's plus size. So
I mean, Wiggy always dresses up for Halloween. We should dress. Are we going to dress up for Halloween?
I already got my costume ready to go.
You do?
I do.
You were going to do the Dahmer one, but
I was.
You're not.
I told you, but then the streets is like, yo, don't do Dahmer.
Yeah.
You know?
What theme is your costume?
Oh, you're going to like it.
Are you going to give us any kind of a hint?
Nope.
No hint?
I'm just going to show up, and you. Let me tell you something. It is going to be madness when I show up.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Am I going to go as?
I'm going to be a chef.
You guys were, let me say this. Last year when you dressed
up. It
was
bad. Yeah.
Thumbs down.
Really bad.
Yeah, what did you just wear? A sweatshirt?
No,
yeah.
I wore a Taylor Swift shirt, yeah.
Yeah,
it was bad. Very sorry.
It
I was Ted Lasso last year.
You mailed
I'm very
it
sorry.
In.
Yeah. Yes. All right, well, this is crazy. Boston Marathon winner, and I'm going to butcher this name, and I really am going to try. Diana Kipyoki was suspended Friday after testing positive for doping after the race. So she was tested. They collected after she won. If she's proven to have taken the prohibited drug, she is disqualified from the 125th Boston Marathon winner and the $150,000 that she won.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to have to go
back.
Oh,
she has to give it back.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. This was the 2021 marathon.
Correct.
Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she will serve a 4-year ban from the marathon.
So how does that work? Are they just like getting the results now from the
That's
from the
what
testing?
I don't get.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know. It seems like somebody dropped the ball here, but I don't know.
It's weird.
Yep.
Okay.
The one chip challenge has stroken again.
There you go.
Huh?
That works.
Did you just say stroking again?
That's what I be
you
doing.
You have a stroke? You're trying to say struck?
Struck. The one chip challenge strikes again. There you go.
There you go.
Several students at a middle school in Minnesota.
I knew what you were saying.
Several students at a middle school in Minnesota.
Yeah, had to be treated by school staff. They had to call an ambulance. They were having trouble breathing. Some had issues with their eyes.
They did it in school?
Yeah, they were doing the one chip challenge. So, you know. Don't do it. We can hear from... Would you like to hear from the doctor?
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Dr. Gary Kirkillis.
The ingredients are the Carolina Reaper pepper and the scorpion pepper. Now, on a scale, if you think about like a jalapeno pepper or Tabasco sauce, these are like numerous times more spicy. If you look at the website, it'll say, how long can you last after taking it and not taking any water? So like, can you last a minute? Can you last an hour?
The one chip challenge has stroke in again? Oh God!
They should ban all challenges on all social media.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Oh, actually, stroken is on Urban Dictionary. I all can't right. say what it means, but
I think we all know what it means.
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
There
guess.
You go.
Also, a song by Clarence Carter.
Yeah.
All right. What else?
Well, we can get to the dumbest of the day.
Okay.
It's time for...
Oh, man, I feel like I'm dealing with an idiot when Curtis talks.
The dumbest of the day.
Isn't there a guy they call Numbnuts on the show?
All right, Curtis, we listen to everything that happened over the weekend, and we have determined that this may have been the dumbest of the day, correct?
The President of the United States was in Oregon talking to the country about his recently passed, quote, Inflation Reduction Act, which is certainly working like crazy. And he tried to tell the audience in America as a whole about the really great perks of this $400 billion package.
Mm-hmm.
Of that package, he said that people would get tax credits and money back if they used coffee-making machines.
A coffee machine?
If they made coffee, they would get a tax credit.
Okay.
He omitted some big part of this because it was only a tax credit if you traded in an electric one for a non-electric one.
Oh, okay.
So I don't really understand this. It seems somewhat out of touch, but let's hear what the President of the United States had to say about this over the weekend.
Has to do with your ability to be able to get tax credits for buying, if you need a new coffee machine, a new washer, a new refrigerator, you buy an efficient refrigerator, efficient coffee machine, you get a tax credit for it. There's a lot in here that lowers the everyday cost for middle-class families.
I see. The coffee machine, commonly called the coffee maker.
Yep.
LB used to call the text line the text machine on the old show.
But this is such an out-of-touch thing. Do you know how expensive a new fridge is?
Very expensive.
So you're losing like $800.
If I already use a non-electric coffee maker, can I get a credit?
Yeah.
Does that count?
Well, you can also
use,
go.
I use a cold brew carafe.
You can also go and get one of them motorized wash tubs.
If you want to do your clothes in a better way.
No, Shime, if you've already bought one, just like if you've already paid for your education, you're S out of luck.
You one of those newfangled electric typewriters, too, while you're at it with your coffee machine.
We have a fax machine still in Dale's office.
All right. Well, that is the dumbest of the day. Thank you very much,
you're
Curtis.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Courtney. And coming up next, Bill Belichick on a Patriots Monday here at WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
It's a Patriots Monday. Bill Belichick will join us momentarily, and then Boomer Esiason coming up at 9 tomorrow, Ty Tuesday. That means Ty Law will be on this show at 8:30 tomorrow. And Thursday, Bruins Thursday, Mike Milbury will join us at 8:30 on Thursday's show, and Devin McCourty on Friday at 7:20. This is George from New Hampshire. Hey, George. George, you there?
Oh, man.
I don't know what happened to George.
He's at the coffee machine.
I want to know whether George is full on in when it comes to the juicy quarterback controversy that Wiggy says is basically Wiggy's given the job to Bailey Zappe. There's no controversy in his mind.
Oh, I said that when you look at the way they're performing and you look at their numbers statistically, Mac 1-2 in his three starts, Bailey 2-0. Right. If this conversation was the same conversation with Cam Newton, wouldn't we be saying play the guy that has the better numbers?
Yes.
Or the team looks better with?
Mm-hmm.
And after we saw what we've seen from Bailey Zappe, Greg, you made a lot of points last week about the failures in the red zone, settling for field goals, mm-hmm. that if that were Mac. Well, I now feel that they beat the Ravens with Bailey Zappe, because Bailey wouldn't force the ball to Devontae Parker in the back of the end zone if his receiver didn't show that he understood the coverage. I really believe that Bailey Zappe's biggest strength has been to relax and allow the play to come to him instead of him forcing the play onto the field. And that has been, he's been unflappable. And he's got a quick release. All the issues that I was told that he had, Andy Hart and others during Bedard, basically said he didn't belong in the NFL during training camp. I don't know what they were watching.
But I feel like is he more mobile? Is he a better scrambler than Mac?
He's way better in the pocket. Like Fourier, shout out to Fourier, he tweeted out an awesome video from behind Zappe as Zappe shifts up in the pocket, like sliding into and then forward to the left. It's almost like, I hate to use this comparison, but it's just, he's the best to ever do it in the pocket. It's Tom Brady, the way he slides forward. But Bailey just has this momentum where he goes forward and then finds the crosser route. And it's like, it's a work of art the way he's able to move up in the pocket like that.
He's had a better start to his Patriots career than Tom Brady. And that's coming from me.
Okay, but Mac Jones, I mean, I feel like I'm the Mac Jones apologist, and mm-hmm. I guess I'm going to continue to be that guy. But Mac Jones was dealing with, from the start of the season, an offensive coordinator, quote unquote, who was, new in that role. Mm-hmm. He has come a long way, Matt Patricia.
I think we'll talk to – we asked Boomer about that, and Boomer has some really interesting things to say about Matt Patricia. We play that interview at 9. Mac was dealing with an offensive line which has clearly gotten much better over the last couple weeks. I mean, I don't know that it's
except
fair.
Except for Isaiah Wynn.
Huh? Yeah. Well, that fumble is completely – that's on him. Why is he still out there?
Wynn, more like loss, am I right?
No. But I mean, honestly, I don't think you can compare apples to oranges because it's a different scenario.
You did it before.
Can't you compare to the improv situation that Wiggy always told us? Matt can't improv. And I stand by that. I think that you can learn how to and get better at improv. Mm-hmm. And you say it's something you're born with. Mm-hmm. Do you see that out of Zappy? Because I think comparing the two, I can see what you mean a little bit more.
Right. But it really comes down to like decision making. And I think, you know, Curtis kind of hit on this point a little bit. It's about your decision making as the quarterback, the most important position on the field when it comes to decision making, because it can lead to so many issues.
No, but the offense, you know, if you looked at the offense as a whole, yesterday, week 6.
Yep.
And Bill and others said this was going to happen. It looks really good based on not only Bailey Zappe, but also wide receivers finding themselves open. Mac did not have that situation first 3 weeks of the season.
Stop
I'm sorry.
It, right?
Is it that he didn't have it or he wasn't finding them?
Yeah, you're really
too busy forcing it to Devontae Parker in 50-50 balls that they claim are 80-20s and they actually aren't.
Right, you're really reaching on this one. Like now all of a sudden the receivers in week 5 and 6, they know how to get open? I mean, what were they doing at the beginning of the season? I think it's just when you look at it, Zappe is distributing the ball amongst a lot of different receivers, right? He's just not locking in on one guy, and he's spreading the ball around. We saw it yesterday. So I just think that the O-line hasn't changed. The receivers hasn't changed. The running back hasn't changed. The coach and the way he calls plays hasn't really changed.
You don't think Bailey Zappe has more time than Mac did?
Oh, in Pittsburgh, you're going to tell me Pittsburgh, they didn't give up a sack. So, we heard about was the time that Mac got, right?
And how many passes through the 3 games this year did Mac get lucky that weren't interceptions? Mm-hmm. There was at least one a game. Against the Steelers, there was a glaring one. Mm-hmm. At the goal line in the game against the Ravens, there was one.
Yep.
How many of those have you seen with Bailey Zappe where he gets lucky that it's not picked off?
Right, and his only interception was
that Parker catch yesterday was chef's kiss.
Awesome. Great throw, great catch all the way around.
And Zappy's only interception came off a ball that a receiver should have caught.
Yep. And his two fumbles weren't his fault because Isaiah Wynn is a turnstile. And but as the time Zappe finishes his dropback, he's getting creamed from the right side.
I think it's all about when you look at the way, because like I said, everything is the same except for the quarterback. I look at this offense. Does the offensive play calling look any different as far as whether it's run, play action, the way that he's calling the plays, does it look any different than when Mac was in there? No. Looks the same play calling to me. I see a little bit of play action. I see him at times they spread him out a little bit. I see him trying to run the football. The play calling hasn't changed. There might be a few wrinkles here and there. I think the only thing that has changed is just the way the quarterback is handling the situation.
This is John from Rhode Island. What's up, John?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
What's going on?
I want to say I agree with Wiggy 100%, man. Bailey Zappi's the future of this team, not that Mac Jones. I don't know why everybody's so happy about Mac Jones. It's all about Bailey Zappe, you know. The kid's going to be a beast in this league. He's already proven it. And if he sticks with Belichick, who knows? He might be the next Brady, man.
Okay. All right.
I mean, Bill's helping him out, right? And what Matt Patricia's doing with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was the stat yesterday somebody put out, like, for the best quarterback?
The 100-plus passer rating in the first two starts?
Yeah, first two starts.
That's pretty impressive.
Yes. All right. Well, speaking of Bill Belichick is brought to you on a Patriots Monday by the Mass General Cancer Center, by Zooty, build any app your company needs in a week, by Northeast Men's Health, the leader in the sexual health of men. And he joins us this morning on the Harbor One hotline. Hey, Bill.
Morning. How's it going?
Nice to go and get a win on the road yesterday.
Always good to win in this league. Tough to win on the road. good to win in Cleveland. Yeah, good team win. Thought we got good contributions from all areas, offense, defense, special teams, running game, passing game. On both sides of the ball was competitive. So it's good to come home with a win.
Bill, one of the things that I thought you guys really did well yesterday is the way you were able to play the run against the Cleveland Browns and basically slow Nick Chubb down in that Cleveland run game. What was the biggest thing that, now that you were able to look at the film, that really stood out that helped to leading to you guys to be able to do that defensively?
The two big things were team defense and tackling. So we tackled well. Chubb has a lot of long plays because they're well blocked, and then he has also a lot of long plays because the defense can't tackle him. He breaks tackles or makes guys miss and then turns, 7 and 8 yard runs into 30 and 50. So tackling in the secondary yesterday was good, and overall we played across the front competitively against, again, a very good offensive line, a very good running back, great running back, and a team that's very well coached, that they do a good job with the fundamentals and techniques on the offensive line, and also scheming things up to give the defense problems. They certainly gave us some problems in the running game that we had to adjust to, and I thought our defensive coaches and defensive players did a good job of recognizing those things and making some adjustments to make it difficult for Cleveland to run, but they're still a good running team, and they're tough to stop. That's a good football team in the running game on the line and at the tight ends and the scheme, and obviously they have a great back.
Bill, congratulations on tying George Halas with 324 wins as a head coach. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I think I've talked plenty about that. This game's not about me. It's about our team, and it's a great team win in Cleveland, and it's time to move off that subject. We've talked enough about it.
Bill, statistically, we've been able to see Bailey's growth since coming in at Lambeau, but for you as the head coach, what's been the biggest point of growth that you've seen out of him?
Well, he's getting better at some of the little things. They're important to make big things happen. There's still a long way to go, a lot to learn, a lot of things that we can improve on at every position and collectively as an offense. So we'll keep working on those.
I saw a video of he and Mac walking into the game yesterday together. How important and instrumental has Mac been in preparing him for games?
Yeah, Mac does a great job. He gives us great leadership and great presence there for our entire team, especially offensively and in the quarterback room. Mac's got a lot of insight, having played, especially, a team like this that he played last year. He's got a lot of great insight and all the time, whether he's playing or in the last couple of weeks when he wasn't playing, he still, adds a lot to us.
If Mac is 100% healthy this week, is he starting Monday night against the Bears?
Yeah, that wasn't an option yesterday. He wasn't active for the game, so it was really no option to play him.
Bill, when you look at your defense, I think another thing that, stood out to me, and it's kind of been standing out every single week, is defensively your ability to create turnovers. You saw a couple interceptions, guys making great plays on the ball on the back end, but really some good pressure on the quarterback leading to some errant throws. What's the biggest focus that you guys are doing week in and week out to really emphasize maybe creating turnovers?
Well, I think you hit it, Wiggy. It's team defense. If nothing else, pass coverage more than a good pass rush. Nothing helps good pass rush better than good pass coverage. Nothing that helps a good pass rush better than stopping a run and, putting a team into a passing situation. So it's a lot of complimentary football and good team defense. When you're getting productive plays out of, all levels of your defense, the front, the linebackers, the secondary, then that's when those things happen. So, it's, again, a lot of guys, playing well together, communicating well, and you know, working with each other and playing with good fundamentals. Those are really the keys to it.
Bill, Isaiah Wynn's false start was his eighth penalty of the season. How do you balance giving guys opportunities to get back into the game and make up for something, and then also taking them out when it doesn't seem like they're improving?
Well, we have too many penalties offensively, period. So we've got to cut those that back. It's too many of everything. So we just got to do a better job of coaching it. We have to make better decisions on the field. We got to stop going backwards with the penalties. We have good production offensively, but then we, you know, with plays like that, we put ourselves at such a disadvantage that we got to coach it better and we got to play better. Got to, you know, be more conscious of that and execute better on the field. A lot of those penalties are really unforced errors. They're our fault, you know, delay a game and, you know, it's false starts and things like that. We had multiple penalties yesterday. And so as a team, we've got to coach and play better.
Bill, how exciting is it to see Tyquan Thornton's explosiveness take effect right away in game one there, as he had two touchdowns yesterday?
Right. Yeah, we had him last week too, but it's good to have him out there. It's good to have everybody out there that we have. We're missing some guys that are working hard to get back, and it'll be good to see them back out there. You know, I'm sure they'll be back as quickly as they can, but yeah, it's nice to have Tyquan there and made a couple of big plays for us yesterday. But it's good to have all the healthy players that we have on the field always.
Is there a memo going out today about not trying to hand you the game ball during the game, waiting till afterwards?
Well, hey, it's always exciting for guys to make plays, and it's exciting for all of us. So we're happy when we make them, but yeah, just gotta move on. That's our next play.
Bill, one of the things that Zappe did really well yesterday was spreading the ball around to a bunch of different receivers. Going into the game, it seemed like Matt Patricia put together a good game plan, a good balanced game plan. What is it that maybe Zappe does well when it comes to spreading the ball around to other players and making sure that, you know, he doesn't lock in on one player?
Well, Wiggy, as you know, unless it's a screen pass, there's no one design player to get the ball. The ball goes to the player that has the best matchup or that's open. So, and the quarterback's job is to find the best matchup, find the open receiver, and get him the ball. And unless it's a one-man play, then, which there aren't very many of those, everybody's alive on the route, and just depends on what the defense is in and what the matchup is, where the ball goes. So, you know, that's all a function of the play and the way that the defense gets called and who's where on the, you know, when the defense deploys and you know, declares their matchups. So it's really a decision-making process after the snap. We don't know who the ball is going to, and neither does the quarterback until the play begins. So that's really how that works out. There's no set design to throw two passes to every player. We can't control that. We don't know what defense they're going to be in. And I wouldn't want them to do that anyway. So, you know, we've got to take attack the defense where it's most vulnerable.
Bill, you've said multiple times that it's a hypothetical question that you're not interested in addressing regarding the quarterback situation. But is Bailey Zappe competing to have that job? Or is it Mac Jones's job whenever it is that he becomes fully healthy to return to the field?
Look, it's every player's job to be ready to go. That's their job. So, Mac wasn't active yesterday, so there's nothing to really talk about.
Bill, you brought up decision-making, right? Zappe has done a tremendous job of making the right decisions, whether that's, you know, finding, like you said, the open receiver or, you know, not throwing it into an area that could potentially lead to a turnover. Was that something that you noticed from him coming out of college, was his decision-making? Because we know he set a bunch of records at the college level. Is that just something when you watch him play, you knew that this guy had that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he did a good job of that. But, again, as you know, doing that it, at one level and doing it at the NFL level is two different things. So, you know, players can do some things in college, and then when they get to the NFL, those things don't really manifest themselves, and sometimes vice versa. Maybe they didn't get a chance to do some things in college and then get a chance to do them in the NFL, and they're really good at them. So, yeah, I think the big part of any rookie player is you take the skills that he has, decide whether or not, you know, you think that those skills would transfer positively to your team, and then look at the player's approach, work ethic, et cetera, and try to gauge how much he'll improve and what room he has to improve and how much he will improve. And so that's all rookies improve. We know that all players get better with experience and with opportunity, but some guys improve more than others, and some guys are able to progress. They progress at different rates. So it's until you actually work with the player, I don't think you know for sure how all that's going to turn out. And some guys have obviously turned out better than others if you look back through the history of rookies here at the Patriots. So it's not really a predictable thing. We've had some free agents that have improved and been great players. We've had other guys that were much higher draft choices that didn't produce nearly as much. So it's an inexact science.
Bill, you've said on this show before that you don't really know. Your team really isn't what it is until week five, I think was what you said to us. So is it fair to compare Mac's performance weeks one through three with Bailey Zappi's performance week six?
I don't look at it that way, no.
To that same point, do you know who this team is now at week six? It seems like the guys are right on cue, gelling at the time that you would like them to.
I think we've improved since the beginning of the year, like every team in the league has. I think we have to continue to work on the things that we can do better and take it to a higher level. That's really what our job is as coaches, to identify those and to make the adjustments we need to make and to get more production out of all three units and the players that we have out there. So that's a continuing process that will go on through until the final game of the season, whenever that is. It's not really gonna change, but I think we're getting there. Some things we need to address, obviously, and we'll do that. And if we have to make adjustments or changes, which is part of the game, we always need to do that, then that's what we'll do. If we can do some of the things that we're doing better instead of changing them, then we'll leave them the way they are and hopefully do them better.
Bill, yesterday, Myles Garrett, he breaks the Browns' all-time sack record. You know, seeing a player like that, you've been around a lot of great edge rushes. What makes Myles Garrett, he had two sacks yesterday, what makes him such a difficult player to defend? I think he's one of the highest when it comes to seeing double teams in the NFL and is still able to be productive. What about Myles Garrett makes it so difficult to defend that player?
Yeah, he's really tough. It's pretty much everything. He's long. He's got a high motor, very quick off the ball, so he can work around blockers, but he's also strong and explosive and can come back inside, can counter. His length, quickness, explosiveness, and I'd say just general instincts. He made a number of plays yesterday that I don't know if there's too many other guys that would have made them. He's really a special player. I have a ton of respect for him. And we tried to get him as much as we could. They moved him around a little bit. We could have done a better job, you know, coaching-wise. I could have done a better job in getting things, arranged a little differently. But, yeah, they got us a few times. He got us a couple times. And he's a tough matchup.
I know when talking to media today, you didn't give any update on Christian Barmore, but Kendrick Bourne was seen walking in a walking boot after the game. Is there any update there?
No, not yet.
Bill, you always talk about depth and how it's next man up. Is it a good problem to have when you have two quarterbacks that you feel like you can, you know, win and go a long way with? And it seems like with Zappe and Mac Jones, off of what Mac was able to do last year, what type of, when you look at that, is that something good for a coach? I know there's always going to be a lot of questions about quarterback controversy, but is it something that you look at and go, hey, at least this is something good that we know that our backup can step in, or and our starter could show that he can take a team to, you know, deep into the season and into the playoffs?
Well, as a coach, you always want as many good players as you can get. So that's true at every position with every player, and always try to help them improve and be better players. So that's our job. Yeah, we'll keep working at that.
All right, Bill. I drew the short straw this week on this one, so I assume you were invited to the wedding on Friday night and declined. Are you going to send? Do you send a gift anyway? Is that how that works?
Yeah, that is. Yeah, Robert. You know, I spoke with Robert about. Robert and I talked about it a couple times, and you know, was planning to go, but in the end, it just was too much at the end of the week, and you know, both decided the best thing for me to do was to, you know, try to get ready to beat Cleveland, and we'll celebrate at another time. But very happy for Robert and Dana, and I heard it was a really special night. So sorry I missed it, but I know it was a great night for him. Very happy for him.
All right, Bill. We will let you get to work, and thanks for being on this morning. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good, Ray. Talk to you later.
Okay, there he is, Bill Belichick. We'll be able to get any nuggets from Wiggy and others coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.